Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Yesterday, there was a blackout, a total blackout, in Spain and Portugal and parts of France. And as I sit here, only about 50% of people have had their electricity restored. As you can imagine, essentially, chaos ensued, and a state of national emergency was declared. Now, often when these kinds of things happen, they say The Simpsons predicted it. The Simpsons seems to predict certain fascinating things occurring. The Simpsons predict a crazed billionaire wanting to block out the sun. The Simpsons predict Donald Trump being elected president of the USA. But in this case, I think that it's not The Simpsons that predicted it, it's South Park. And specifically, it's a specific episode of South Park entitled Overlogging. Overlogging. This is season 12, episode 6, which was first broadcast on the 16th of April, 2008, in which the internet goes down.
Our house, it has no internet.
Oh my God.
We've got nothing. It's just gone.
And suddenly, people cannot cope with the consequences. People are plunged back to the 1990s, and the infrastructure of the 1990s is no longer there. Of course, with electricity going, we're plunged back even further. But being plunged back to the 1990s means being plunged back to a world where there isn't instant gratification, where you can't get exactly what you want pretty much whenever you want it. And we now have a generation, perhaps not the millennials, but Generation Z, who have been brought up with the internet and are used to instant gratification. And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at the consequences of that, how this instant gratification has occurred, and what we're going to have to do in the future as these blackouts, as I will show, become more and more likely due to a complex infrastructure being very, very fragile, combined with declining intelligence and a declining ability to solve problems. But before I do that, could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube? Leave a like, leave a comment for the algorithm, all that kinds of stuff. I'm most grateful. And could you subscribe to my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based videos I did on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, where I put vlogs, where I put films I make, and where if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. Now, look at this. I went upstairs earlier, and I got some of these things. Some of you Gen Z people won't recognise what these are. Now, look. These are called... they're called compact discs. And how they work is that you hear something on the radio that you like. Let me show you one in case you're not familiar with them. You hear something on the radio that you like, and you really like it. It gets in your head. It's an earwig, and so you have to go and buy it, because you don't have this thing called the internet where you can get all the music that's available, pretty much, where you can get all of the literature that's available, all the books that are available, where you can just get pretty much anything you like, all the television programmes that are available. It doesn't work like that, no. You have to go out and you have to buy it. And often, of course, you'll think back afterwards, you'll think, God, why did I do that? But it's catchy and it gets in your head. So in about 2002, I would have heard on the radio these people. Tattoo. There you go. And I would have liked it, and I would have liked it enough that I went into Aberdeen, where I was living at the time, and I purchased their album. And that's how it worked. Imagine a world where the only music you could listen to, the only music, is either music that happened to be on the radio or happened to be on the TV, just by chance, that you can't control, or that you actually have to own. That is a world of delayed gratification. We could give many other examples. It must be incomprehensible to some of my younger viewers of delayed gratification. If you want to watch a television programme and you want to watch the next episode of the series, well, you can't just binge watch it on Netflix or whatever it is that people do. No. You have to wait. You have to wait until the next episode, which comes out next week. And you look forward to it. You look forward to, let's say, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. because that's the time your favourite comedy is on. And it kind of bonds you with other people who feel the same way. Likewise with music. You can't just hear something on the radio and then go and find it on YouTube and listen to it, because YouTube didn't really exist until about, well, I first came across it in 2006. No. If you like it, you have to really think, do I like it enough to go and spend some money to go and buy this song? And if you do, then you go and buy it, and that's that. Likewise, with a book, you can't just find all the books you want on dodgy Russian websites or whatever like that. No. You have to think to yourself, do I really want that book? And you either have to borrow it from a library, order it into a library and wait weeks for that book to come, or you have to go and buy the book. And you have to think carefully because these things are expensive. This is a world of delayed gratification. Now, as one of the things that children have to get used to is delayed gratification, that you have to wait for things. You can't just have food whenever you want it. You can't just do whatever you want whenever you want it. And the internet has kind of taken this away. The internet has brought us to a world of immediate gratification where we can just do whatever we like, pretty much, and get whatever we want whenever we want it. And I assume that this changes the way people react to things going wrong. And I wonder how people in Generation Z in Spain, who are used to having the internet all the time and who are used to instant gratification all the time, have never experienced a world like this. And suddenly you get to a world where you cannot pay with your credit card for things. That's gone. There's no electricity. You have to go to the bank. You have to go to the cash point, and you have to get money out, and you have to pay for it that way. You cannot obtain information on the internet because the internet is down. So you have to resort to books, or you have to resort to old-fashioned radios that are battery-operated. You cannot just switch the lights on even and be in the light. You have to light candles, or you have to use torches, or whatever it happens to be. All of this stuff, all of this instant gratification is gone. You cannot just take photographs on your phone. You have to have a separate camera via which you can take photographs. So all of this instant gratification, and related to this, all of this convenience, the incredible convenience, it's unbelievable, really, of having just on your phone a camera, a torch, a calculator, and basically access to almost all of the world's knowledge, books, music, whatever it happens to be, it's incredible, and that's knocked out, and we're plunged back to essentially an earlier time where we have delayed gratification, where we have to wait, where we have to look forward to things, where we can't get what we want whenever we want it. I remember thinking, I was about 19, and I was walking in Durham, and this woman came up to me, and she was a product tester type thing, and she wanted to get my views on this idea of having a camera and the internet on your mobile phone. And I remember saying I thought it was a terrible idea. If I want to use my camera, I'll use my camera. Of course, it wasn't a terrible idea. It was, in terms of convenience, a very good idea, but I found the idea of it absolutely crazy. But this is now what's happened. We have lost something. We have lost delayed gratification. We have lost looking forward to things. We have lost pining after things. Even in things like relationships. Imagine having a long distance relationship.
I'm eye-catting with my boyfriend in Montana.
It's easy now. You just go on the online on WhatsApp or whatever, and you can see the person, and you can talk to the person and whatever. 20 years ago, you couldn't do that because there was no internet, really, or it wasn't much of an internet. There certainly weren't things like WhatsApp. It would have been unaffordably expensive to have phone calls between two countries. You'd have to write letters to each other and things like that. And then really, really look forward to seeing each other because you literally hadn't seen each other. Not even images, for months and months and months. Delayed gratification, with the consequences that when you are gratified, it is often heightened. But anyway, that's what's been taken away from that younger generation. Now, I think that we're going to have to get used to delayed gratification, because as I said in an earlier video, I think this is going to continue happening. We have a competence crisis. We promote people because they tick certain DEI boxes rather than because they are the best people for the job. We have an over-education crisis. So we have people with qualifications to be an engineer or whatever that really aren't very good at it and shouldn't be engineers. And we have a problem with declining intelligence due to dysgenics. We're losing about one IQ point per decade. We're losing it for genetic reasons. We're becoming less intelligent. But yet, because of the way that innovations work and that micro-innovations work, the system is becoming much, much more complicated and therefore much, much more fragile and much, much more reliant on everything going just right. at the exact same time that we're becoming less intelligent. I mean, we were becoming less intelligent during the collapse of Rome, but we were also making innovations. We innovated stained glass during that collapse. In this instance, it's more obvious. We have this incredible level of technology which allows you to easily innovate new and very complex technologies, even though IQ is going down. So it is outpacing massively whatever else is going on, and it's incongruous, it's mismatched with the decline in IQ. So this is, and I suspect this is probably why this happened. This and perhaps fanatical things like the need to use green energy, but then the need to use green energy is a luxury belief and so on. But then even so, it can be sustained if we have high enough IQ to preempt the problems and to sort them out. But we don't. So what kind of future can we expect? What's going to happen? Well, all you have to do is look to countries like India, where there are frequent blackouts. How do they cope with frequent blackouts? And the answer is, it's just they have to live further back in time. They have to live in the 1990s or even the 1960s or 50s in some respects. Because that's the only way you can cope with unreliable electricity in a society that is reliant on electricity. So first of all, many people in India will just have their own generator. You can't rely on the grid. The grid will get knocked out every so often. You know that's going to happen. So you have your own generator. In July 2007, I was in a restaurant in Agra, and there was a blackout. The blackouts happened at least four times in the 2 weeks I was in India. There was a blackout, so we were in the dark for a bit, and then they powered up their own generator, and then we had electricity back. You will schedule electricity usage for certain times. So there are certain periods of time where there tend to be, are more likely to be blackouts, where more people are using electricity. Famously in the UK, during the commercial break in Coronation Street, there's a spike in electricity usage because everyone puts their electric kettles on. So you schedule doing things that require a lot of electricity, such as doing washing your clothes in the washing machine, for certain key times, and you do them then. Obviously, you have all kinds of backup. You have torches on hand. You have candles on hand. You have perhaps supplies of if this is a serious blackout, you keep supplies of non-perishable food, tinned food and bottles of water for real emergencies. Because it's possible, you know, that this blackout in Spain could last a week and you can't drink the tap water over there. So this is really quite serious. Now, obviously, then it goes back to how you even deal with food. Now, then you really have to go back in time. Because you can't rely on a freezer and you can't rely on a fridge because of the problem with electricity. Well, unless you've got your own generator. But even then, they take up a lot of electricity. So it's a bit difficult to rely on them. So you might go back to what they do in India, which is they just eat things you can dry. They deal with food in traditional ways, and they dry fish and things like that. And that means that obviates the need for this electricity-consuming device, such as a fridge or a freezer. Now, it's interesting in terms of what they do with their phones. They're much more likely to have small... Like, if you go back 20 years, I had this Nokia phone. It lasted absolutely fine. It was absolutely fine after having it for 15 years. It was fine. It was small. It had simple hardware. It had a very, very durable battery because it wasn't concerned with being, you know, thin and efficient and whatever. It was a simple device. So even though it was simpler, it was more reliable. It was more resilient. And it lasted for ages. And in India, lots of them will have phones like that. And those phones can have a very long battery life. I mean, it might last a week. And they can use them for text messages and things like that. And therefore, they can keep in touch during blackouts. And they won't need any electricity to charge them because there's a massive battery life. So we'll have to go back to things like that. Rather than these smartphones, which have constantly got things running in the background, apps and whatever, which are designed for efficiency rather than for a long battery life. You know, the problem of them, the bane of every child's life who spends time on the internet on their phone. And my attention was drawn to this by the fact that the Spanish Prime Minister actually said, please use your phones responsibly. use your phones responsibly, i.e. keep the battery level up, you know, be careful, limit how much you use your phone. And one of the things they said in the South Park episode was use the internet responsibly. Don't just check the internet because you feel like it. Only use the internet if you really, really need to. And you can see that that is where life will imitate art, that we will be forced to use the internet when we really, really need to and not just check Twitter all the time because we're bored. This may be the future, a future where we return to delayed gratification.
Are you ready for the future of the West?